You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Regular interview with Andrew Little is back after a break from last week while the Health Minister was in Geneva. This week, Tuva'a speaks to the Minister about the budget. Here's that piece now.
A couple of weeks ago, Budget 2022 was announced, and within this, a large chunk was dedicated to health. In fact, a total of $14.9 billion of new funding has been provided. What's involved in making a budget like this? Do you start with the money and spread it across issues, or do you start with issues and find money for it?
It's a bit of both. I mean, the Minister of Finance says this is what we have available. And when we do a budget, we do a budget for the year, but then we forecast it out for the following 3 years, so it's a total of 4 years. But in most cases, knowing that we'd come back the following year to revise. Slightly different this year for health, because it was agreed that whatever we did for health would be as a two-year budget. So budgeting this year for this year and the next year. And as health minister, I don't get to come back next year to put in a further bid. So we get around all the health public health organisations. They say what they think they need. And that goes up with a bid. Every other minister puts up their bids. And you end all the bids in the first round end up being triple or quadruple actually what's available. So there's then the process of winnowing out the lower priority things. We had, as a government, we had said that because we're doing the health reforms, health was a priority. So, and we know that the health system had been historically underfunded, and we wanted to start to sort of overcome the long-standing historical underfunding. So the budget this year reflected very much that priority given to health, trying to get past the chronic underfunding and give it a boost so we can start to, you know, do the things that we've struggled to get done before. And that was, yeah, that was reflected in the final result that was announced 2 weeks ago.
Of the $14.9 billion, $1.3 billion is going towards capital investments in health infrastructure. What are some of the infrastructure projects this investment will be going towards?
Yeah, just by way of explanation, with the capital spend, we put in an amount each year, but it's what we call a multi-year appropriation. So we top up the amount of money that's there, but because they tend to be big capital projects, it takes, you know, 3-4 years for projects to sort of be designed and then construction starting and all that sort of thing. So we already have about $6 billion worth of projects underway at the moment or committed to. So this is a further amount of money on top of that. A large chunk of the $1.3 billion in this year's budget is actually to pay for cost escalations on existing projects. So that just means we can complete existing projects, all of which are important, but complete them in accordance with the design. And then there's some additional funding that'll go towards, I mean, Whangarei Hospital rebuild has been a priority. Of all the remaining hospital rebuilds, it's the one that really stands out as desperately needed. And we'll start the work on Nelson Hospital rebuild. That's another one that has been long overdue. The design work for that hasn't really started. We've put enough there over the next couple of years to get the design work underway and the preliminary work underway. And then once the design's done and we have a clearer picture about what the likely cost is, then a future budget will pick up what that cost will be. And then there's a number of smaller projects. I mean, there's a bit of extra money going into further IT development. You know, one of the things that in our health system that has been really badly underfunded and really kind of let down is the IT systems. Bringing together the IT systems of 20 DHBs is a big exercise. We put money into that last year. What we want is a system that means that if you're a patient, regardless of where you turn up in the system, then the health professional in front of you can get access to your health records and know what your health profile is and therefore give the best possible advice. So that's another part of the investment this year as well.
That leads me on to my next question. A big chunk of the money, $320 million, has been dedicated to data and digital infrastructure. When people think of healthcare, they think of physical things like hospitals, ambulances, doctors. Could you tell us a little bit more about how digital infrastructure is important to the health system and how this money will be used?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, recording and storing data is essential. You know, every time you interact with a doctor or other health professional, they're taking down your details. If you prescribe anything, that is recorded. And we want to make sure that that is done safely and securely, but actually also then that those details go towards your health record and that is accessible. If you turn up somewhere in the health system, you know, the most frustrating thing that a lot of people talk about is, particularly if they've got more complex health problems, that every time they interact with a new health professional, they have to sort of tell their story all over again. So it's making sure that we've got systems that are both safe and secure. And remember, we had the cyber attack on Waikato DHB last year, but also that data is accessible where it's needed. The second aspect is we want the ministry and the big health entities, Māori Health Authority and Health NZ, to be able to get access to data on an anonymised basis so that they can do analysis and research into health trends, you know, what is happening, what's being diagnosed, what sort of medicines are being prescribed and what sort of volumes. And they can sort of think about if there's underlying challenges that we need to be thinking differently about or just planning for the future. And then the third aspect is for telehealth. So we saw that during the COVID pandemic, when a lot of GP clinics couldn't operate, just for safety's sake, a lot of GPs had to work over the phone or over video, and actually found that there's things they could do, and they could still do basic diagnosis, and it didn't compromise the quality of their service. For a lot of people in rural areas, they found that a much more convenient thing to do, although many kind of struggled with some of the broadband issues and all that sort of stuff. So we want to do what we can to strengthen networks and what have you to better deliver on telehealth, because we think that'll open up a lot more services to a lot more people.
Part of the budget includes increasing the annual funding for Health NZ, which is part of the new health system restructure. Why was this extra funding needed? Is it more of a sort of inflation issue, like rising costs, or is the new health system maybe less efficient than previously thought?
There's two aspects to it. One is that we've observed over the last probably decade or more that there is a structural deficit in our health system. You look at the financial performance of all of the DHBs, pretty much all of them bar one have had recurring deficits now, in some cases, for more than 10 years. They had huge deficits about 2 years ago. They've actually managed to sort of crib those back, partly because we put more money into the system anyway, but they're still running deficits. The accumulated deficit for this financial year that ends at the end of this month will be roughly $500 million, maybe $550 million, somewhere between there. And so what we said is, right, that simply reflects a structural underfunding, so we will fill that gap. So part of it is we'll just put in $500 million. Then on top of that, there's cost pressures anyway. You know, wages go up, costs of other things go up. And then there's just having some scope to do some things that we don't currently do. So that accounts for about $1.3 billion a year. So for the next financial year, it'll be the $500 million plus the $1.3 billion, that's $1.8 billion, that'll go in this financial year and the following financial year and each financial year after there. Then in the second year of the 2 years that we've budgeted for, an additional $1.3 billion will go on top of that, again, largely for cost pressures. Again, you know, wages will continue to go up, the costs will go up. So that reflects, I think, the kind of the real cost of just keeping pace with what we're doing, with a little bit extra to do some extra things that we need to do. Outside of those amounts, I mean, we have the budget also included, you know, the extra $100 million for extra stuff in the mental health space, an extra $86 million for GPs who've got patients with complex needs that GPs are struggling to provide the services for. So there's additional funding even on top of that cost pressure funding.
Obviously, $15 billion is a lot of money, and during the budget announcement, some New Zealanders, as well as the opposition, expressed their concern that there is too much government spending. What do you have to say to people who worry about this? Can you put a cost on the health of people?
Yeah, I think that's the challenge, and it's an important debate that we should always have. The reality is our health system has been underfunded for a long time. This government has put a lot more into it than has been the case previously. But the price we pay for that underfunding is that, you know, there are people who become chronically unwell, have to finish work or can't work, or you know, can't properly look after their family, or wait longer and longer to get, you know, to get into hospital, to get procedures and surgeries and all that sort of stuff. And we end up, part of the cost we pay there is, you know, keeping people on drugs that they wouldn't otherwise have to be on. And we see that with mental health too. Shortages in mental health means that a lot of people end up getting prescribed medications that actually, I know for a fact, and because they write to and tell me, they don't actually want to be on. They want to get access to people who can just help them through the various issues that they've got. So that's the price we pay for that underfunding. And that has another cost, which, as I say, you know, people can't work, and we lose, you know, we lose the benefit of that, and we lose, you know, families kind of lose cohesion and those sorts of things. So there is a price for that. I think one of the challenges we've got, a part of the transition that we're in, when we think about health spending, the question always is, where is the best place to spend that extra dollar? Because it's probably not putting more and more into the hospitals, important as they are, important as the surgeries and things that the hospitals do are. It's actually at the very front end, which is, as people are feeling unwell, making sure they can get to a doctor, making sure the doctor is equipped to make good diagnoses and to do the follow-up, to check that, the earlier that we can intervene when people are feeling unwell, the more likely it is that we can stop them getting very unwell and prevent further cost. So that's where a lot of the what you could expect to see from us in the next few years is putting a lot more in that front end, what we call the primary care end, so that we prevent people going to a hospital as much as they are at the moment.
That was Health Minister Andrew Little speaking with Tuva'a.
That was Labour MP Andrew Little. The Wire. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.